Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 21, Black Swan.
The story of love, murder, and a podcast.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of our podcast, for sure.
Love, murder, and a podcast.
Love, murder, and a podcast. Well, one
hello,
of those things.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, rush me through that. I was going somewhere with that.
I'm fuck sorry. You. Do you want to do it again?
No, asshole. Just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm your host, Chaos.
And I'm your co-host, Carnage.
And together, we mostly podcast at night.
Mostly. And there might be some carnage tonight, actually. So, if you see an ambulance go by, think of us.
Yeah, carnage is giving me that look like I might get stabbed.
But might.
That's okay, because... Again. I will just stab her back. It's no big deal.
It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Alright, so tonight was Black Swan.
Yeah, let me do my intro. Okay? Thank you. If you're just joining us for the first time,
wow.
We are a horror movie review podcast.
And where, a bunch of assholes, apparently.
Where two assholes bicker and snipe at each other as they talk about movies. And we trade off picking movies. So tonight is Black Swan, chosen by yours truly, Chaos.
Team Carnage. Go Team Carnage.
Go Team Chaos, go! This was a 2010 movie.
Hey, I did that. It was R-rated, an hour and 48 minutes long. And yeah, it was in 2010. You threw me off by saying the year.
Yeah, and what was the rating on IMDb?
Wow, now I didn't want to give it to you. Eat a dick.
I'll skip it then.
Go eat a bag of dicks and then come back to me. No, it was rated an 8 on IMDb.
Oh, okay. So Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter is certified fresh, 87%. Critic consensus, bracingly intense, passionate, and wildly melodramatic, Black Swan glides on Darren Aronofsky's bold direction and a brava performance from Natalie Portman. Audience score, 84% liked it.
Can I say something?
Yep.
Okay, so tonight we screened two movies and did two podcasts because we're awesome like that.
Yes!
So we did The Thing earlier, and it actually had a budget of $15 million, and that was in 1982. This one had a budget of $13
million. Whoa!
Yeah, so a lot less, which is kind of surprising, because it was done in 2010. You know, yeah. Usually that would just be one actress.
Right, like, like Natalie Portman or Mila Kunis could each command that for just a shit movie that they... You know,
yeah, I'm kind of confused by this. I'm like, wow.
Wait, what?
I know. That's crazy.
Wow. And then the box office did 106, almost 107 million.
So. That's just the U.S. And the worldwide, it did 129 million.
Wow.
So hopefully they got a share of the box office.
They
as
probably
part
did.
Of their payroll.
Probably that's why they paycheck. Didn't both get the entire budget for their acting. Or Barbara Hershey or Winona Ryder, Vincent Castle.
Oh, good
I
point.
Mean, you know, like any of them could
good
yeah.
point. Do you want to do a small summary, or shall I?
Sure. I will do a small summary.
Small. Minuscule.
Okay.
There was a swan. Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. There was a swan. It was black. Natalie Portman was Nina. She couldn't handle... being a swan.
This is a horrible fucking summary. This is why you're not allowed to do it.
Things went awry.
Wow. Way to take both my catchphrase and...
She's a perfectionist ballerina who, when she gets the role of a lifetime, finds herself unable to cope with the stress and her reality unravels.
Good. Perfect. That is a perfect short summary. Let's talk about what we really think, though, now.
Okay.
I think she had a schizophrenic break. I think the stress...
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what happened. Especially because I just read an article on a website where they had people, all, you know, do a character study of her and diagnose her, and they came up with schizophrenia and borderline personality disorder.
God, I'm good, man.
And anorexia.
Okay, well, I had bulimia. I didn't have anorexia, so I didn't get bingo on that one. But, you know, schizophrenia.
You definitely did pick up on the eating disorder, though.
I did. I did pick up on the eating disorder, mostly because you can see her bones from Mars.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No.
She's also very obsessed with calories, and she doesn't want to eat the cake her mom gets her, and, you know, all that kind of thing. But the bathroom scenes, they said, was actually portraying the gastrointestinal distress that comes from the stress that your body is put under as a ballet dancer.
Yeah. Like that. Very true. Do you want to talk about the drinking game you had proposed for this podcast?
I had proposed a drinking game for this episode. Yeah, let's do that. Where every time, what did I call him?
A dick.
Every time I called Vincent Thomas. Castle's character, Thomas, a dick, we had to do a shot. And I predicted that we would be drunk very fast.
Very fast, because you called him a dick a lot.
I called him a dick pretty much every time he opened his fucking mouth.
He was a genius. Geniuses are often mistaken for dicks.
Oh, is that how that works? Funny that.
He thinks he's a genius anyway.
Oh, he thinks he's a genius.
Come on, most narcissistic men think that. He obviously had a narcissism.
Oh my God. Complex. His character's such an asshole.
So, yeah. There's just a whole variety. Nice variety going on here. Let's talk about Nina, though.
Mm-hmm.
And what was real and what wasn't real. Because we had an argument, a disagreement about what happened at the hospital with Beth.
Yeah.
I say that Nina stabbed her. You say that you didn't think it actually happened?
I didn't think it happened, no.
Okay.
I thought it was because at one point Nina's face turns into, I'm sorry, Beth's face turns into Nina's, and every time that's happened, it's been a hallucination.
Mm.
So that's why I don't think it really happened.
Oh. I'll have to think on that. I have to think on that, because I really think she stabbed her in the face a couple times.
I mean, I can see, you know, your arguments for that, which I guess you should probably let us know your reasons for the listeners, because you've told me, but yeah. Not.
Okay, so I think she brought the file. Just in her psychosis, she thought Beth was stabbing herself, but really she was just stabbing Beth. Because you see Beth still stabbing herself when she leaves the room. But then when you get to the elevator, Nina's She's got the bloody file in her hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things where you see.
And that's definitely weird.
Which I've seen before in other, like, movies and stuff where, like, someone's stabbing themselves and you walk away and you have the bloody knife in your hand, you know? And it's like, wait, how did I get this?
Yeah, the other reason why I don't think that works here is because they really do a very good job of portraying her psychotic break and her mental illness, and that's not really a thing.
What?
That actually happens.
Is it harm to others?
Like, no, so for one thing, it's exceedingly rare, but no, aggression is totally part of her diagnosis. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about physically stabbing somebody in the face. That's a little bit different. But also the trope of like, oh, I thought I'm watching this person stab themselves in the face and really I did it. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
I'm just sticking by story that I think it was her.
So yeah, that's why I
know what you
that's
think.
Why I don't think it was her, because at one point her face turns into Nina's face, and every time we see that happen, it's always been a hallucination.
Right. I definitely don't think it was Beth stabbing herself. I mean, I'm sure she
I don't
had
think
some
it
issues
happened
too.
At all, but no, I could see that Beth stabbed herself in the face.
See, I can't.
Rather than over the idea that Nina did it, yes.
Huh. Yeah.
I really don't think Nina did it.
You just like Nina.
I do like Nina. Well, come on. I mean, I see a lot of myself in Nina. I don't want to get into it too much, but we have things in common.
Yeah.
So, I do, yeah, I'm very sympathetic towards Nina's character in general, just because we're a lot alike.
Not that mental health is, someone can't cause mental health. I think they can cause fractures in mental health, if that makes sense. Like, I think Thomas definitely helped along the break by his actions and words. And I think, not necessarily that Winona Ryder had mental health issues, but I think he broke her in a similar or other way. I think because he was people, she was his little princess for a while.
I mean, technically, if someone causes you trauma, then yeah, absolutely, they can cause your mental illness.
Right.
Because trauma can trigger schizophrenia. Trauma, you know, like, you could have the predisposition to have schizophrenia, but never actually have it trigger because nothing terrible happens to you.
Right.
And just completely lead a low normal life and never have schizophrenia.
It's kind of like a
same thing with like
crapshoot, really.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like, but if you do have the, you know, all the right factors, and then something traumatic happens to you, then it will trigger your schizophrenia, or even drug use can trigger schizophrenia. So yeah,
or alcohol
in,
use.
Right. So in that respect, yeah, somebody could cause your mental illness. Technically,
well, my point was though, I think Toma broke Beth too.
Well, he,
if
I mean,
he had her all those years too.
I think Beth had her own issues, but I think Beth and Toma was just that, like, he was an abusive asshole.
And he tossed her aside.
And he totally tossed her aside. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, now he wants the new young pretty
Who
thing.
He doesn't. No, I'm just kidding. I pick Winona Ryder any day over Natalie Portman. Oh. Natalie Portman can rock like a rock star. Rap like a rock star. Have you ever heard her rap?
No. Awesome. this, actually, speaking of that, oh my gosh, this cast is just gorgeous. Can we just,
like, oh, so many, like, good actors and actresses.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the primary thing, is that the people are just amazing in their roles, and Darren Aronofsky is amazing at directing them, and I just can't believe Natalie Portman's performance. But also, oh my god, this is such a nice movie to just go, look at these beautiful people.
Well, and it did win her an Oscar, too. You were saying her performance, Natalie Portman's performance. It did win her Oscar, so that's pretty
Oh, okay, pretty good. Special. It should have, definitely. You know, I remember when this movie came out, I went to see it in theater, and I instantly fell in love with it.
Can we talk a little bit?
You've asked me that a few times.
Let's talk about the symbology.
Okay.
Because the first time I watched this, I didn't pick up on it. And I own this one, too. But I don't watch it that often as you do.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're kind of obsessive with this. Maybe the third time I've seen this.
I've seen this movie so many damn times.
The first time, I didn't really notice it. The second time, I really didn't notice it again. This time, I was paying attention because I knew we were a podcast and I had to get pork bits out of it. But just the fact, you know, you see, try to use character names. Nina, from the very get-go, she's got this pink coat on with this white fluffy scarf. And you see Lily's character for the first time. She's got a black coat on and this sleek gray scarf. So white swan, black swan.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
Very much white swan. And Nina just has pink everywhere.
Like
everywhere.
Baby
Her
soft
towel's pink.
Yeah.
Her whole bedroom's pink with butterfly. I mean, she is a typical little girl. She calls her mom Mommy.
Yeah, well, that's to signify how her mother controls her and is overprotective and keeps her like a little girl.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Everybody always wears black. Everyone always else wears black. You go to that party, everyone is in black or gray, and she's in white.
Mm-hmm.
And she's extremely demure through the party, bowing her head and little handshakes. It's just very, it's the subtlety. Like,
yeah.
You don't pick up on it the first time, but then the more you watch it, and you're kind of focusing on it.
Something, speaking of that I didn't even notice that this website that I read brought up was that she doesn't really speak unless somebody asks her a question.
Which, I've got to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but
I remember
sense.
Her being very soft-spoken and quiet and not talking much.
Right.
But I didn't even pick up on. So that's really interesting.
And then with Beth in the hospital, if you look at the hospital room, now her room is all pink and soft and white all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Nina starts going gray and black and a little bit darker. So it's very interesting. It almost, I was looking at it when she's in the one, okay, so that's the problem for me. They're at that party, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all these benefactors, these sponsors and big wigs and everything trying to get money for their ballet. There's one fucking bathroom for the women.
I don't think that was the only bathroom.
I mean, that's the way it looked, though, because someone's knocking on the door. But when she's peeling that part of her hand away, it's like she's peeling back another layer.
Yeah,
because that's the same night that Beth has the car accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to me. So I just, I wanted to point that out. So, yeah, that's where we're at there.
Yeah, very yeah. good point. I just want to point out, speaking of symbolism, that the mirrors, as typical in movie tropes, mirrors are usually used to portray someone's, like, break with reality.
That's why I don't have any mirrors.
Oh, so you can't be insane if you don't have any mirrors?
Got it.
I said movies, though, not real life.
Shut up.
And if you notice, like, every time she hallucinates Lily, she's always seeing Lily reflected in a mirror, or, except for when they're alone. But when someone else is in the room, you only see Lily reflected in a mirror.
Can I ask a question, actually, about that? Speaking yes. of, so the sex scene that Lily and Nina didn't really have.
Yes.
Was there somebody there, though? Because when she wakes up in the morning, that piece of wood's moved. So either she didn't put it there, there was somebody else there.
No, she... Or she moved it in the night. The reason why she saw the... No, there was nobody there. That's why... And that's another one where she was seeing Lily, and then sometimes Lily would have her face. Because every time somebody had her face, they weren't really there. They were a hallucination.
Okay.
However, it's interesting to note that that's not, that's like a trope of this movie, but that's not like a rule with mental illness or anything.
Okay.
Or like the woman in the tunnel when she walked past her, I don't know if that woman was really there or not, but the other times
she wasn't because that was her.
No, but she looked again and it was somebody else.
I don't think so. When she looked back, it was her. Was it somebody else?
Yeah, it was somebody else. It wasn't just her.
Oh, okay.
But so I don't know if that woman was really there but not. But I know that you can, when you hallucinate, like you could look right at somebody who is really there and see somebody else.
Hmm.
But it seems like in the movie anyway, every time she saw somebody who had her face, it turned out that they weren't really there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really that interesting to anybody else, but...
No, I like symbology. Symbology?
Yeah.
Symbolism? Whatever.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this dancer Fontaine, and I forgot to look her up. Did
Margot you... Fontaine? What about her?
The dancer. You know, they mentioned Fontaine danced into her... Yeah, I fucking know her name is Margot.
Oh, what about her?
I just wanted to talk about if you've ever seen her dance.
I have.
She's amazing.
Sorry, I thought you were asking who it was.
No, I know who Fontaine is. I wanted to bring her up because they mention her and she's such an awesome dancer.
She is.
And I wanted to say, if you have any interest in dance at all,
go check her out for sure.
Go check her out. You can find her on YouTube. She's danced Black Swan, which is probably why they brought her up in the
movie.
You
mean Swan Lake?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
She's danced Swan Lake, which is probably why they brought her up in the movie.
Well, I think, okay, so, I think every major prima ballerina has danced Swan Lake.
I'm just saying she has.
No, I know, any ballerina that's a prima ballerina has probably danced the main role.
Okay,
so.
I don't fucking know if every ballerina in the world who's ever been important has danced
I'm just saying prima ballerina.
Swan Queen. I do really like Swan Lake, though, the ballet.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, it's a stupid story, but it's a beautiful ballet.
And the music's fucking awesome!
And the music is awesome, too, yeah.
I love music. I can't help it. A bit of trivia. You ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay, I told you at the rehab scene that it was actually a rehab scene. It's true. The budget on the film was so tight, Natalie Portman had a rib dislocated during a lift, and she called the producer for help, and she was told the production could not afford a medic. So she said if they needed to cut items from the budget to afford a medic, they could take away her trailer. Next day, the trailer was gone, and they actually filmed one of her physical therapy sessions incorporated into the final cut of the film.
So that one where she...
Yeah, she really is
injured
her
diaphragm?
Yeah, she had a dislocated rib.
Oh.
So that really is, yeah.
Ow.
And apparently, Natalie Portman was really into this film. She not only trained for a year as a dancer before the film, she paid for that lessons out of her own pocket.
And then she married her trainer.
And then she did marry her choreographer, who also played the suitor, too. So he did have a role in the film, too. He's the one that asked if you fuck her? And he's like, no.
The prince?
Yeah.
That guy? She married that guy?
She married that guy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's why it's kind of a funny thing. And the irony of the character is that in the film he scoffs when he'd ask if he had sex with Nina and joked that he obviously was a good actor because,
oh, that's cute.
What other things? Oh, Darren, I'm going to say his last name.
Aronofsky.
Aronofsky would actually do little small pits against Mia Kunis and Natalie Portman to kind of keep the tension high on set. Very, just a little bit. Not like Stanley Kubrick-esque, but he would pit them off a little bit, so.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny, too. You put notes in about when they were breaking in the shoes. Did you have something to say about that?
Oh, no, I just liked that they included that, because it's just a funny thing that I've always remembered about ballet, is that you buy new shoes and then you immediately have to, like, destroy them in order to actually use them.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I remember that from when I very briefly took ballet lessons.
You were never on point, though, were you?
No. I never got to that point. I almost did, but I quit. Frankly.
When I used to go to ballet, I used to buy a pair of used shoes every time, because that was, like, a thing. When you went to the Cleveland Ballet, you could buy a pair of the dancers' shoes that were signed.
Oh, really?
I still have a pair at home.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, from the Nutcracker.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, my grandparents used to take us to see ballets all the time. It was pretty cool. I always liked the ballet.
Yeah, I just went to Nutcracker last year, or the year before.
Did you
still
really?
Awesome as ever. They don't sell the shoes anymore. I think it's a sanitary thing. Probably can't for health reasons anymore. But as a kid, it was so cool to be able to buy. It was like $2.
Oh, really?
For a pair of used ballet shoes that were autographed. And it went to the fund back when our ballet was a thing in our city.
I know. I was so sad when we lost our ballet
company. I was too.
Company.
It was a shame, really. One other piece of trivia that we've talked about before. The picking, the compulsive skin picking, is actually an impulse control disorder known as dermatillomania. Neurotic exuration, or compulsive skin picking.
Or dermatitis.
Or, dermatitis? Is that another name for it? I thought dermatitis.
Scratching.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, very interesting, so.
Yeah, I have that.
Me too.
The compulsive skin picking.
Fist bump!
And the compulsive scratch. Well, the scratching that I do that in my sleep, but I do it when I'm stressed. And then the skin picking I do as a compulsive anxiety
self-soothing
thing. Yeah, self-soothing thing.
Yeah, that's what I do it for.
Yeah, I also, I rub the tip of my tongue against the back of my teeth until it bleeds.
Okay, that I did not know about.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
I don't know what that is, but I know it's another self-soothing anxiety thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate it, though, because it hurts. And I do it with, like, unconsciously. It's like when Nina, like, all of a sudden realizes that she's got blood under her fingernails because she didn't even realize she was scratching herself. It's like, that's like, I do that with my tongue.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm so attractive.
So awesome. Vincent Cassell, who does, he plays Thomas, I should want to say that. He compared his character to George Balanchine, who co-founded the New York City Ballet, and he said, he was a control freak, a true artist using sexuality to direct his dancers. Cassell.
Gross.
Did that.
Yeah, he did.
You know, very.
Gross.
Disgusting.
Can I just say it one more time? Gross. About as gross as rubbing your tongue against your teeth. Anyway.
Oh my God. Let's see here. I didn't even know this. I did. I didn't recognize it. Nina's cell phone is the ringtone for the theme for Black Swan. It was just in my head, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it isn't at first, but after she gets the role, she changes it to the Black Swan.
Does she change it to that?
Okay. Black Swan, yeah. Because as soon as she gets the role, the first time her mother calls her after she gets the role, it's that ringtone suddenly.
Let's see, I'm just looking at other notes here. I think it was great casting. I mean, Mia Kunis? Oh my
Mila
God.
Mila Kunis.
Why can't I say her name?
I don't know, it's not that hard.
Mila Kunis.
Okay, Mila? Now just don't sound weird when you say it.
Kunis.
Mila
okay.
Kunis.
When I think Mila Kunis was perfect
she
as
was
Lily.
So amazing.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you happen to notice, was she a ballet dancer?
No, only like a little bit as a child like you, but then she practiced for like 5-6 months. She did have a ballet double too.
Oh, okay.
So did Natalie Portman, but she was very, very sparingly.
Yeah, I was just saying, because that one scene where Natalie Portman, Nina is watching her and the prince together, and Thomas comes over and kind of taunts her a little bit. About how effortlessly she dances, and she dances so beautifully, or her double does. I don't know if it's her or her double, but yeah, she does dance very beautifully.
Natalie Portman did. She had ballet training from age 4 to 13, though.
Wow, okay.
So she did have some, does most of her own dancing.
That's a lot more than me.
Yeah. Well, definitely a lot more than you. One thing that saddens me is that Summer Glau actually auditioned for a part and was cast, but her part was cut.
Aw.
I love Summer Glau.
Oh my god, me too.
Oh, makes me so sad.
Makes me sad.
What do we think about the end? Does Nina die at the end or not?
Well, I mean, come on. You know me. I'm like, I don't want her to die.
I mean, Natalie Portman doesn't believe she's died at the end.
Really? She doesn't think so?
No. Because the placement where the blood is, Darren Aronofsky put it on where it looks like she got her period. And he's told Natalie Portman that he intentionally placed the blood there because it was to symbolize Nina becoming a woman. As a result, Portman doesn't believe that Nina dies at the end. She sees it more as Nina having to kill the little girl in order to become more mature to a woman. That's interesting.
A stomach wound, and those are really super fatal. Especially when they're left to bleed for, like, hours while you finish dancing a fucking ballet.
Right.
And then if you don't get, you know, you have to get an ambulance real fast to survive stomach wounds. So, I don't know if she really did or not.
And because the story that the swan dies in the end, too, I think it's kind of appropriate if she does die.
Except Winona Ryder is the dying swan. She is. She's cast as Beth McIntyre, the dying swan.
No, I know that. I'm just saying.
So, there's...
I don't know.
I'm just saying that's like a, I don't know, a point in the she could live column.
Maybe.
Does she live? Does she die? I want her to live because I like Natalie Portman's theory, too. But if she does live, she's talking about a long hospital stay, not just physical, but mental.
Good point.
Because that was one serious psychotic break.
That was a very big psychotic break. Do you have any more trivia at all?
Because
I've got some fan fiction if you don't.
No, go ahead.
We have lots of fan fiction. We have 71 works in archive of our own and another 67.
Not at all surprised.
And fanfiction.net. Most of them are Lily and Nina.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to go check those out later, aren't you? Some are Thomas and Nina. Some are Thomas and Lily. Some are Flesh and Bones crossed over. Hannibal crossed over with Black Swan.
he's going to eat her after she falls.
Apparently. NFL crossed over with Black Swan.
What?
Yeah, I know Magic Mike crossed over with Black
Swan. What the fuck?
The Avengers crossed over with Black Swan.
What the?
Yeah, some of these make me laugh. I had to read some of them.
I am confused.
So, and some of them are just Nina and me at Small Lake. So, you know, that's going to be Reader versus Nina. Yeah.
If you can't see it because you're listening to us, I just rolled my eyes pretty hard.
Big eye roll from chaos. So this wasn't really a good film for us because we don't really argue. We both like this film.
I know. I mostly just wanted to talk about it.
I know. There's not really entertainment value here for the listeners because we don't really pick a whole lot.
We did, you know, discuss differing theories on things and maybe we don't have to call each other dicks and assholes all the time.
Yes, we do. That's our thing.
Bitch.
Fuck you.
Such a bitch.
Anyway,
we ready to rate?
Let's rate this.
Is that
bitch.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Let's rate this bitch. Okay. Why don't you go first?
No, you go.
I went first last time.
I'm gonna go 7.237.
7.237.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's not my favorite, but I do enjoy it quite a bit. What? It's up there. That's high for me.
I know. I'm just laughing to myself because I'm debating on whether I think it's a 9 or a 9.5.
Ooh. Thor versus Nina.
Oh. Dear God.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Everyone knows Nina and Lily are canon. OTP!
Thomas and Lily. Just kidding. God. Look at me like I'm glaring at me. Can you rate this bad boy so we can go home?
I'm trying to think.
Oh my God. Let me rate it for you. 9.5. There we go. It's been rated.
I hate you.
All right.
I fucking hate you.
Rate it.
I'm going to rate it a 10.8573211.
Wait, what did you call it?
10.857321112.
Score of 10.
10.8, 5, 3, 7, 2, 11, 12.
Oh,
7.8.
Okay.
All right. Fuck you. That's not what I said. Fuck you. What
did you say?
I said I'm rating this Veronica out of 10.
Veronica out of 10. That's not a thing.
By the way.
What did I tell you about smoking?
By the way, I sat through 3 seasons of Lost Girl just for the actress who played Veronica. What up?
Wow. And I have no idea who Veronica is, but that's okay.
Look her up.
Just kidding. Why don't you pimp our podcast?
Podcast at 9.
Did you really give us a rating?
9.
Okay. I'll accept that. Yeah, go ahead and rate, pimp our podcast.
Yeah, okay. Podcast at Night at podbean.com. We are on iTunes and Google Play. We are Podcast at Night on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Instagram is the most fun place to find us.
Woo-hoo!
However, you can get your updates. They get automatically pushed to Twitter and Facebook as well. So you can always get your updates there. Also, we are podcastatnight@gmail.com.
And we would like...
And we would like Mila Kunis's back tattoo as Lily.
Because oh, can I make... That's actually a point I want to make.
What?
No ballet dancer would actually have a back tattoo. I'm just saying.
No belly dancer.
No ballet dancer.
Oh. No, but
would
it's...
actually have a back tattoo.
But it's
like
two
that.
Lilies that are that look like wings. It's more symbology
I
that she's the black swan.
I know it's a symbol.
And it's a fucking gorgeous tattoo.
It is, and it's symbolism, but I'm just saying...
Yeah, no ballet dancer would have a back tattoo. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, because they couldn't perform with it.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to, which is silly. You know what that makes me want to see is like a ballet troupe that's all tattooed.
Up.
Yeah, tattooed people.
My God.
I think that'd be cool. Okay, anyway. was there anything left to say? Fuck.
Sorry, I threw you off. iTunes,
okay.
Instagram,
I interrupted
Twitter,
myself, really.
Facebook.
No, I did
Gmail.
All that. I did
oh,
all that.
I was saying, what do we want in our email?
What do we want in our email? And I was saying
pictures
Mila Kunis as Lily's back tattoo.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I want.
Okay. All right,
I want her
fine,
back
I
tattoo.
Guess. I just like pictures of ballerinas. Anything by Degas is cool, too.
Okay.
The ballerinas by Degas.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Is that the one you have in your office?
No, that's Manet.
Oh, yeah, no, duh. Oh, my God. Why was...
Wow.
You don't even have ballerinas
it's
in your office.
Not even a ballerina.
I know. I was thinking that you... Oh, my God. I was even imagining the Degas,
can I
the
just
ballerinas.
Say, we mostly podcast tonight, and it's almost actually early morning.
Oh, I'm so... And
it's pretty late
even
for
though
us.
It's Friday, chaos has to go and get up and go to work in the
Carnage
morning.
Carnage does, too.
So anyway. Gas has to be up earlier.
All right, whatever. Let's. We rated this. We pimped our podcast. What else do you want to say? Anything else?
That's it from me. Signing off. Goodbye from chaos.
Bye from carnage. And as always, we are filmed in front of a live studio audience of cats.
Goodbye. I don't even know where my fucking phone
Hopefully
is.
Hopefully, I was recording the whole time. Was
yeah.
it?
Yes.
Thanks for listening to They Mostly Podcast at Night. Our theme song is by the Computer Music All-Stars under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Link in the show notes.